And we were talking about Chassidut. What is Chassidut? And we were discussing different parts of piety. And we talked about the physical kinds of piety, which is Chesed, doing kindness. Bichlal Enyan Hazeh, included in kindness. Lo Litzayer Shum Biriyah. This is so hard. Not to cause anyone pain. Not to cause a single creature pain. Even animals pain. So imagine, two guys driving, riding a horse. One a little bit, with his spurs at the back and a little bit of a whip. The other guy is a chassid. You talk to the animal, go faster, go to the animal in a nice way. Thank God we have cars today, not animals. Really avoids a lot of problems. So, our pets, people with pets, you see how they treat their pets. Some are very nice, some are not nasty. And so therefore, chassidut is to treat the pets nicely, to treat the animals nicely. If you don't have to kill it, don't kill it. If you find a way to throw it out of the house instead of killing it, throw it out the house. You got a fly buggy. You either open the window, why kill it? You know what I mean? It's a mosquito or something else. That may be dangerous. All kinds of stuff they carry today.
Chapter
Zika and this and that. Chapter 19. So a person should try not to afflict any creature. Imagine not afflicting any creature. It says, Mishlei says, Yodea tzadik nefesh b'emto. A tzadik knows the soul of his animal. Which means that even his animals are treated properly. Amazing, amazing, really high level. And many people hold, Tzar bali chayim deraita. Laws of cruelty to animals is a law from the Torah. But it's not allowed to cause cruelty to animals. At least derabanan. It's definitely derabanan. Even if from the Torah, because the Torah says, if you see your enemy's animal walking down the road with a burden, you have to help unburden him. Yes, exactly. That could be because of kalayim, or it could be because of pain. Two different opinions. Is it because of causing two animals to crossbreed, or is it because they're pulling at different rates and it's causing pain to the donkey?
And if you see your enemy's animal or your friend's animal?
Well, the enemy's animal takes the precedence. Why? Overcome the inhibition of loving one's enemy. A person doesn't want to help the enemy. So it's against one's own yetzirah. A person should try their best to break the yetzirah. It's hard to break the yetzirah. Okay, we are now moving on. Klal Hashadava. What is the general rule of chassidut, of piety? What is the general principle of piety? Number one, rachmanut, mercy. Rachmanut is my mercy. Have mercy on people. Have mercy on things. Don't cause unnecessary pain. It's very hard to be a teacher in school. You want to know the balance between discipline and causing pain. So you humiliate someone, causing too much pain. Sometimes you cause too much pain to a child. I never forget the teacher. I was talking in class. I was naughty. And a guy comes from behind me and a whack on my head. Oh God, I still feel that pain.
Yikes.
I still feel it.
You're imitating me.
Like he didn't turn me off Judaism.
He wasn't
a rabbi. Not the ideal way of motivating people to learn. It's very hard. This is critical stuff. This is, and people turned off Judaism because of, in those days, Alban Zilius tell me, he used to whack him on his hand, and he would jump out the window. Goodness. It didn't encourage people to learn. It just turned them off. It's terrible. So now I'm in too much pain, but that was considered in those days, society was acceptable to whack kids. Just whack them. But how much whack? How much? So this chassidut, he's written the 1700s. It's not like he was out of whack. He's talking about a society where capital punishment was there and punishment to children was there. And he's saying, he's telling people, that's not chassidut. That is not chassidut. What you're doing is not chassidut. Have mercy to goodness. It should be stuck into your heart. A pious person has these two qualities stuck into the heart. Mercy and goodness, helping people. And you should always try to give people satisfaction. This is a good publicity for, good at all these big companies. Customer satisfaction, number one priority. And you want to do business with people who give customer satisfaction. But the same thing is, we have to give customer satisfaction to everyone we deal with. Imagine. It's like rabbis should be user-friendly. And religion should be user-friendly. Give customer satisfaction to people. A person who comes to shul should get satisfaction. Should come and say, wow, I really enjoy myself. Had so much fun and it was so nice. The people were so nice to me. That's the way it should be. Why? Because this is a critical part of chassidut. A person wants to be pious. You can't be pious and be nasty to people. It's an oxymoron. So people think, you know, I'm a chassid, I can be nasty as much as I want. It's an oxymoron. You can't be a chassid and nasty at the same time. You can't be a chassid and throw stones at people. I'm sorry. There's a limit to being a chassid. You want to be a chassid, you throw stones at people, you're not a chassid. Very simple. It's not true chassid. You're a fake chassid. So there's fake chassidim and there's true chassidim, true pious people. They're not like that. So a person should always have that thought, I want to give people satisfaction. I want to make people happy and not cause any pain to anyone. Chas v'chalila to cause pain to anyone. It's really a code. And especially, three categories of people you're not allowed to cause any pain.
Widows,
orphans, converts. Three people, you've got to be very, very careful. Because who's the guarantor?
Hashem.
Oh boy, that's dangerous. Hashem will get very upset. One thing that causes Hashem's anger is troubling the widow, orphan, and convert.
Well, he'll make your wives widows.
Oh, bar minhag, don't say it. Don't say you.
Sorry,
not you. Sorry. Okay. Now, there's a famous joke. It says, the guy came to the rabbi. He said, Rabbi, he said, I can't take my wife. I can't please a God. Please, give me something I want. Get rid of her. Get rid of my wife. He said, very simple. Make a vow. And then break a vow. It says, because a man sins with the vows, because of that his wife dies. So he said, okay, so what vow shall I make? So, well, vow to my yeshiva, $1 million. Okay. Yeah, $1 million. And of course, he's not paying back. He's not paying the money. He's waiting for his wife to die. In the meantime, she's being very nice to him. She changed completely. I don't know what happened to her. She changed completely. Starts doing everything, whatever he wants. Gives all the food he wants. He said, hey, she's a nice woman. Why do I want her to die? He said, Rabbi,
can I do
this? How do I get? I don't want her to die anymore. So okay, so play the dead. No problem. Okay, that's a joke. Was all a joke. But a person should have not in my mind to hurt anyone. A person should be very careful not to hurt anyone's feelings. Have mercy on people. This is the hardest thing to do. Human relations are much harder than relations between man and God. Because God does not bite you back, does not answer you back, does not scream at you, does not shout at you, does not argue with you. And usually what happens is the closer relationships, the harder it is. Because you're together. You see each other more often. The more you see each other, the more friction there is. Right? Where's the most friction in a car? In the road. The wheels in the road. Hopefully there's friction. But you need friction. You need a little bit of friction. Number two, so that's the first part. The first part is Rachmanut, mercy, and kindness to everyone, and doing good to everyone, not causing anyone pain. That's number one. Number two, Yira ve'ahava, fear and love, which we're going to talk about. Fear and love of Hashem. Now, this is man and God. Okay, so the first part is man and man. The second part of Chassidut is man and God. What is fear? Fear is humility. God is watching me. Hashem is watching. How do I behave when Hashem is watching? It's so hard to even... We have to try and make this part of our thought. It's so hard to make this. It's so hard to internalize this idea that Hashem is watching me right now. It's so hard to internalize. We forget. That's why we have reminders. Everywhere we go, we have a yarmulke. It doesn't help. The more you wear yarmulke... There was an article in the paper, the Times of Israel. There's an article by this rabbi, Cordoza, Lopez Cordoza. Have you heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he writes very good stuff, but it's very on the edge. So he wrote something I agree with and I don't agree with. He says, you're wearing your kippah so long, you forget about it and it doesn't make an effect on you. It's true. So maybe you should take it off. Then he says, I think it's a very good idea to take it off, but what are my grandchildren going to think about me? But he's got a point there. The point is that how do you make these things fresh so that they retain? Like, I've been walking around with the kippah for so long, I just forget it's here. So how do you stay fresh with it, huh?
Change the style.
Could be.
Walking windy places.
Even then. You look like an idiot. You haven't got anything.
The kippah made for the wearer or for the viewer?
The wearer. Today became a viewer thing, in Israel especially. Mari Dain. It's a symbol of religiosity. So if you don't wear your kippah, like people say, you're not religious. Especially in Israel.
Yeah.
Oh, it depends. That's another issue. That's another issue.
Rabbi, you're wearing more kippot than usual, so they don't know who you are. You're stamping. Yeah.
In Israel or in France? In France, they said don't wear kippah.
No, we do.
Okay. Okay, so Yira, how do you have Yira? Awareness of God all the time. That's so hard. You've got to be aware of Hashem all the time. So we have mezuzah on the door. How many of you pass by the mezuzah that really affects them? You see mezuzah all the time. You just ignore it. Or people just kiss it and they forget about why they're kissing it. It's so hard. Tzitzit, same thing. Person wears tzitzit. Don't see it meant to remind the person of the mitzvot. Lamanti screw it, comes with tie. But you see it and you see it and you see it. And it just loses meaning. It's so hard. So hard. It's really hard. This is very hard to do, to retain this concept of Hashem all the time. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to his students, may the fear of God be like the fear of man. Fear of man? You're crazy! Halavai, he says, I wish. I wish people think that God is watching them just like they know man is watching them. A bullshit. Shame. Embarrassment of God. So, the closer a person gets to Hashem, the more embarrassment they should feel. Why? Because here we're standing in front of the king. We don't really appreciate, again, put some praise. We have to really think we're standing before the King of Kings. We talked about on Shabbat, right? How could a person come late to shul when they know Hashem is there waiting? You have an appointment. I got an appointment with the creator of the world. I can ask for whatever I want. You got an opportunity. And he's waiting. Okay, let him wait. But most people don't think of that concept of let him wait. They don't really think about it. They don't think about, is God there? God not there? I'm going to shul. So I'll go a bit late because it takes so long. And, you know, I can't sit through the whole prayer. A lot of people don't think. The idea is that Hashem is there. People have to think. Why am I going to shul? Because that's Mikdash Me'at. That's a place where Shachanti B'tucham. Hashem says, I will dwell in it. I'll dwell in it. So we don't really think things through. That's the problem. That's one of the problems. That's why you have to read the book. Is to think things through. We have to think things through. Why are we going to shul? We have to know what we're doing. It's a rational religion. It's a logical religion. Every other reason. We're not just going because, you know, that's the worst way. In the 1950s, we lost the whole generation. Because when the parents, they asked their parents, why am I doing this, Dad? Why are we doing this?
Because I said so.
I said so. That's the way it is. Don't ask questions. We don't ask questions. The whole Talmud is questions. Judaism is a questioning religion. Everyone is questioning. Even Moshe Rabbeinu is questioning God. How can you do bad to these people? Who are you to tell me what to do? Avraham Avinu is questioning God. Why are you going to destroy Sodom? What are people going to say about you? Not only it's a mitzvah to question. What do you mean it's a mitzvah to question? It's a mitzvah. How do you teach the Haggadah? With questions. It's an amazing concept, right? I had many Catholics become Jews. Why? Because they're in a religion that knows and allows questions. No questions. You ask questions. I had a guy just recently. He gave a talk here once on Tisha B'Av. Remember that? So he said he would go with questions and shut him up. I had to ask. Whereas Judaism just invites questions. Go ahead. We don't know the answers. I don't know the answers. In fact, the Gemara says, Teku. What's Teku? Tishbi, Taretz, Kushur, Debayot. Elijah the prophet will come and answer all the questions. You know, we don't know the answers. The Gemara says, we don't know all the answers. Let Elijah the prophet come and answer. Now, what's he going to tell you? Sometimes he'll say, I know the answer. Sometimes he'll say, I don't know the answer. We'll ask the high authorities. Moshe Rabbeinu would ask the high authorities. I don't know the answer. Benot Tzolof Chad. Good question. I don't know the answer. Let me ask Hashem. Hashem knows all the answers. We don't know the answers. But the question is a valid question. And a person should question. Only difference is, a person should not lose emunah because questions. People should not lose their faith because they have a question. You're allowed to question as much as you want as long as you retain your faith in God. Okay, that's the minimum. When you have faith in God, you question as much as you want. Because everything else is open to questioning, whereas belief in God is not open to questioning. That's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is you have to believe in God. Why this? Why this? And the answer is we have answers to everything. Why keep kosher? There's answers to everything. Go to Talmud, Nafshotechem, the Torah says, you will not defile your souls. What you eat is who you are. In other words, it affects the person. What we do eat affects us. We don't really know how, but we can imagine. You know, the whatever's in that animal comes in, becomes a person, becomes more animal-like.
How do you lose your
emunah
by asking questions?
How do you lose your emunah by asking questions?
That's
Who says it's God? The Holocaust. Very easy. Many Jews lost their home. Why did God allow this? Is there a God? How could God allow this? Okay. So the answer is, there is a God. And then when you get to God and ask him, why do you allow this? That's another question. Let God answer the question. Why do you have to answer and say there's no God? Chas v'shalom. Where did everything else come from? Dennis Prager says, a person who believes in God only has one question. Where did evil come from? And everyone else has no answers to anything. And we have answers to everything except for one question. Why evil? Why is there evil in the world? That's God. It's God made free choice. But that's interesting that we have to question everything so that we'll realize and everything, rehash everything. It's like a person should re-accept upon themselves every Shabbat and they ask themselves, shall I accept Shabbat? Yes, I think it's a good idea. So I get more credit. Shall I wear yarmulke in the morning? Yes. Shall I say brachot? Yes. Shall I go to shul? Let me just re-question it, re-examine it, and get more. This way I know what I'm doing. This way I want to do it. I'm just doing it like a machine. Tick, 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 tick. It's very good to do like a machine. You don't have to think. Just do like a machine. Robot. But it's very important to think and have questions and answer the questions and find the answers to the questions. And sometimes by doing something, you only need to know the answer. And if you keep Shabbat, you'll know. You won't have to know the answer. Why Shabbat? Oh, Baruch Hashem for Shabbat. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. Say, Baruch Hashem, what do you mean? You're limited. You're limiting yourself. You know, I had a woman. My wife she had a miscarriage, Bar Minan, many years ago, Baruch Hashem. And so she was in bed. And we got someone to help her. Non-Jewish woman. On Shabbat. And, you know, this woman had a problem. She had a very low self-esteem. And after Shabbat, she was so thrilled. She said, I feel so powerful around Jews on Shabbat. Because there's so much they can't do, and I'm doing it. So I boosted her self-esteem. She was so happy. So you're thinking, you know, Shabbat is hard because it lowers your self-esteem. I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. And this is one of the most amazing things. I was at a class by Rabbi Jacobowitz. He was the chief rabbi of England. I said the story a few times. And he was right here. It was the last shiur he ever gave in his life. Just happened to be in our shul. He was very tired, exhausted. He was going through a tour of America and he's going home. It was the last class, he's going home. He went home and the following week he had a heart attack. So it was the last class he gave. And his topic was cloning. Are you allowed to clone or not? It was just a new topic. The whole field started. And he was going on and on, rambling. He was rambling about this, intermarriage, this and that and the other. We thought, that's it. He's lost it. This guy's lost it. He's an old man, tired. He's rambling. And he started talking about Shabbat. He said, what Shabbat can I do cloning? He's off. But I remember I had a guy next to me. He's also a member of the shul. And we looked at each other. And then he asked a question which woke us all up. Why did Hashem command us to celebrate a day where there's no creation? Celebrate a day of creation. Celebrate Sunday. That's the idea, I tell you. If it was up to me logically, celebrate Sunday, the Big Bang. Or celebrate Friday, creation of man. What are we celebrating? The Christians are right. They celebrate the Big Bang. They don't know, but they're right. The Muslims are right. They're celebrating creation of man. They're not doing it because they're right. Because they're doing it because they don't want to be like us. It just happened to be the next day. But they're right. Why Sunday, Big Bang? Okay, beautiful, fantastic, Big Bang. Ramifications. Let's celebrate the Big Bang. Celebrate Friday, creation of man. No. What are we celebrating? Zero. Doesn't make sense. We're celebrating the ability to stop. That's what God's teaching us. And that's one of the names of the Hashem which we stick on the door of the mezuzah is Shin Dalet Yud Ze Shamar Le'olamo Dai. The one who said to his world, stop. Hashem says, stop. Stop creating. That's it, it's enough. We've gone far enough, that's it. I'm happy what we have. Everyone's got to train themselves to know when to stop. It's so hard to know when to stop. I want, and I want, and I can get, and I want, and I want. I can't stop. I can't stop. It's very hard to stop. Just, you get used to the habit of running. You know, it's good to run. Because it keeps you fit, and it keeps you going. But the problem is, that person doesn't know when to stop. They need to rest. They need to get some kind of relaxation. So, hi, Albert. Huh? Exactly. That was the answer to cloning. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like he was rambling and rambling. All of a sudden, he was more awake than we were. He woke us up. He really woke us up. Honestly, he woke me up. That was one of the best Just a brilliant thought sheds light in the dark. It's a massive question. People don't think about that question. Why are we celebrating lack of creation? And the answer is because we have to know when to stop. Very simple, we have to know when to stop. A person who cannot stop creating is not the master, he's the slave. A person who can't shut his store for a day, he's the slave of the store. The store is running him, he's not running the store. So by showing, how do you show mastery? By stopping. Basic concept. So when it comes to science, also we have to know when to stop. That was his point. Yeah, yeah, question. Yeah, then the guy never came back. He sees him after 3 months, says, why did you come back and ask me? He said, because after wearing it for a month, I realize what it's for. It just infuses me with holiness. I feel my hand and my head and Hashem is all over me. I just feel it. I don't need to know now. I feel it. I know. I can accept. That's what David HaMelech says. Ta'amu ruki tov Hashem. Taste and see how beautiful Hashem is. If you don't taste it, it's just theory. You'll never know what it's like. If you never kept a Shabbat. That's why the best way to get people close to God is invite them for Shabbat meal. Taste Shabbat. They feel Shabbat. The food on Shabbat tastes different. The atmosphere on Shabbat is different. The communication on Shabbat is different. Thank God for Shabbat. You know, most people in families don't talk to each other. People don't realize. Husbands and wives only talk 27 and a half minutes a week. I don't have any statistics. 27 and a half minutes a week, which is less than four minutes a day. Not about mundane things. Who's going to do the shopping or that shopping? We don't talk. Thank God for Shabbat. And even then, it's hard to talk. It's amazing how. That's why marriages break down. There's no communication. It's like, especially children. You wouldn't see your children. Imagine. A guy who doesn't have Shabbat, when would he see his kids? This one's in the mall. This one's running here. This one's running there. You wouldn't see them. Thank God for Shabbat. I tell you. It really keeps things going. We don't appreciate it. So that's why Hashem's teaching us. Stop. Stopping is also creating. Stopping is also menucha. Is very that's a whole melacha in itself is menucha. And that was the finishing off of creation was by stopping. Everything was perfect. Everything was finished. So what do we just recap for those who came a bit late? Number one is we talked about chassid. We're talking about chassidut. What is piety? True piety. And number one we said is piety between man and man by only doing good to people, having mercy on people, and not offending people, not hurting people's feelings at all. And that even applies to animals as well. Not hurt any animals, not hurt any creatures. That is true piety. That's number one. Number two is that's between man and man. Man and God. What's piety? Yira and Ahava. Torah says to fear Hashem and love Hashem. What does that mean? So it says fear is humility. The awareness that God is there every second. And that's how we had this question, you know. If you're wearing a yarmulke all the time, you forget, you lose track about it. If your mezuzah on every door, and you see a mezuzah, it doesn't help you anymore because you've seen it so often. Right? So a person does mitzvah all the time. It's so hard to keep that clarity and keep that new feeling of newness. Right? First time you wear a tefillin, okay, it has a little impact. Second time you wear a tefillin, less impact. For the third time, the tefillin is less impact. You know, Shabbat's better. Why? Because it's every 7 days. Less frequent. The Hagim even better. Why? The less frequent. So less frequent, okay, now Pesach, I'm ready for Pesach. I've had nearly a year without Pesach. I feel like I want to have Pesach now. I feel like I don't want to have Matzah now. But I have Pesach every day. It loses its substance. So it's the mitzvah a person does every single day that it just gets stale on a person. And that's why a person needs to get to this point, Hachna'ah, to know that God is there. I'm used to it, okay, so God is there. 1 day, 2 days. You're used to God being there. How do we know? Kind and Hevel. They knew God is there. Kind knew God is there. God is talking to him. But after being around God for so long, you got used to God being there. Adam and Eve, they got used to God. Not so much. You know why? It's after the sin, they knew they were naked. They were hiding. They weren't so used to God being there. But they thought that sometimes God is there, sometimes God is not there. It's interesting. Sometimes they heard his voice, they knew he was there. Sometimes they didn't hear his voice. When they heard his voice, they ran away. When they didn't hear his voice, but we have to get to the point where even without hearing his voice, he's there. That's the hard part. Like Matan Torah. All of a sudden they got scared. They heard God's voice, they were trembling. Hey, one second, you think God's not there when he's not talking? He's there every time, every second. So that's the idea of hachna'ah. Hachna'ah really literally means humility, but in the presence of God, you can't afraid not being humble. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble. Why? He was so aware of God's presence. Who am I in front of God? You know? How could a person lose the humility if you know you're in front of Hashem? If you're in front of the king, who am I? You know, the king's right here. He's not just the king, he's the king of the whole world. He's a melech malchei melechim. He's the king of kings. Number two is shame, embarrassment. The closer a person gets to God, the more embarrassed they should get. And a person doesn't get embarrassed, it's close, we're going to get into Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu were very close to God. They were extremely close to God, and they did something they weren't asked to do. And in a sense, they weren't ashamed, embarrassed of God. They thought they could do a one-upmanship in front of God. And giving God honor, glory, by doing his mitzvot. So bringing glory to God by doing his mitzvot is tremendous. So that's all part of Yirah. It's all part of our fear of God. So we don't really think of this as fear of God. So the fear is humility before God, knowing God is there. And say, how can I do this? Hashem is watching. How many people have said, you know, how can I do this? God is here, right here. Watch. You know, we got to train ourselves. How can I do this? Would you speed if you see a cop in the rear view mirror? I wouldn't. I wouldn't try. The guy's right here. I was true story. I was driving, and a cop passed me. So, oh gosh, slow down straight away. And he goes, and he's on the fast lane. And there's a car in front of him. He's nuts. The driver's nuts. He was going 62 miles an hour. There was a 60 mile an hour limit. And he wouldn't budge. The car's right behind him. He's going 62.
Wouldn't let the cop through.
Wouldn't let the cop through. Idiot. So he's going speed limit. He said, yeah, you know what? I don't know if his speedometer was like two miles short. He got a ticket, sure. He got flashing lights, pulled to the side. I don't know what happened to him. Probably got a ticket. He got chutzpah. It's a guy, you know. That's a chutzpah. And that's what we're talking about over here. No chachna. Hashem is right there. And the guy's a chutzpah. Doesn't care. So God's here. Okay, big deal. Okay. That's a bit of chutzpah. God is watching you. So. Pardon?
Sometimes it's a bit of rationalization, like God.
Of course, rationalization. Of course, it's all rationalization.
No, like recognizing that God is there, believing that He doesn't mind.
Yeah, you're right, 100%. It's all rationalization. That was the Nachash. Rambam says the Nachash was the Koach Hanichush, the power to rationalize. That's what we have inside us. We're so good at rationalizing. That's why the test for the Sanhedrin was to prove from the Torah that something not kosher is kosher. Rationalize it. The person who's good at Gemara is good at rationalizing. You can rationalize anything. You can recognize anything. So the fact that we can rationalize, not rationalizing requires a lot of humility. It requires a lot of what's called hitbatlut. Hitbatlut is annulling our ego to God. I don't know. I don't know better than God. I'm not going to try and rationalize it. It's so hard to know when you're rationalizing. Because it looks so truthful. It looks so good. God wouldn't mind. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People come late to shul. They don't realize God is there. God is waiting. They rationalize. He won't mind. He knows I'm tired. Yeah, I work so hard. Da, 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 da. It's a small thing. Let me just give a little example. It's a small thing. But it's a big thing. Everything small is not small. The next world is not small. In this world, it's small for us because we don't appreciate what's going on. But if we can see a spiritual eyes, that's what the Gemara helps us give us spiritual eyes. We learned this in the Gemara Brachot. That God is waiting, God is asking, where is this guy, where is that guy? Imagine, hard to imagine, huh? But if they wouldn't tell us with their spiritual eyes what's going on, we wouldn't know what's going on. Wouldn't believe what's going on. Why would God care about puny man? That's Einstein's question. Does Hashem really care about us? We're like ants walking down. Do you think about the ants walking down the street? And the answer is, a Hasid does. He'll try and avoid them. Imagine, you have ants walking down the street. Someone just walk along. You know, it's like, to see a squirrel run across in front of your car is like, I don't know about you, my heart jumps. I don't hear that crunching, I couldn't stand it. To kill a squirrel even, you can't do it, it's horrible, it's not. But some people enjoy it, that's how you know if you're a Jew or not. If you enjoy it, watch out. Check your background, check your lineage. Both enjoys killing, check your lineage. As we just talked about the Kitisa, Parasha Kitisa. Before they went to war, they would give half a shekel. Why? To atone themselves for the sin of killing if they have to kill. before they even have to kill, they already give the tzedakah to atone for that. Because even killing a rasha, you don't know. Maybe his son is going to be righteous, his grandson. You're going to kill many generations. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thought. Taking human life. I learned to be a shochet. Boy, that was traumatic. Killing sheep. Oh, God. Hard. It's such a hard thing. They cry like babies, really. It's such a hard thing to do. Take a life. Once you do it a few times, it's a horrible thing, because then you lose your sensitivity. And that's why in Jewish law, to be a shochet, you have to be one of the higher spiritual levels. Because if you're a base spiritual level, you become a murderer. Just by shedding blood and shedding blood, what difference between a human being and an animal? No difference. That's the Nazis, that's how they train people. First start animals. They had to kill the SS, they had to kill their own favorite dog, imagine with their hands. That was one of the tests for the SS. In Syria, they would make the women, I saw this on a movie, I couldn't believe my eyes, they would make the women soldiers bite off the head of a snake. And say, that's what I do to a Jew.
It's not halal.
That's what they would do. They wouldn't eat it, they would just bite it off. I mean, I saw a movie, I couldn't believe it. Like a propaganda movie. So, you know, Assad, look what happened to Assad. God paid him back, look at it. It's amazing, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. How they're really cruel barbarians. If a Jew fell into their hands, any Israeli soldier fell into their hands, heaven help him. I don't think anyone got out alive. I don't know, they got tortured or whatever. Rather go to the Egyptians than the Syrians were known for that. They were known for the brutality.
They don't have concept of Salam
alaikum. I don't know. Jews lived there for many years. They were happy.
Salam
Allah. I don't know, they have some kind of concept. But if you're the enemy, there's no halfway. There's torture, that's it. Kill, murder, torture. And you see today. You can see what's happening today. But we're meant to be the opposite. Chassid is not like that. A Chassid, a pious person, will try not to hurt anyone. Not even physically, not spiritually, not feeling wise. So hard not to hurt someone's feelings. And some people are very, you know, it's hard to be around people who are very soft hearted. So we got to be around people who are very soft, you know, their feelings are very, you can hurt them very easily. You got to be very careful around them. And then we talked about fear of God. Fear of God, we said humility, shame, to know that God is there. And that's one of the things that Ashkenazim are very strict on. Mishnah Berurah says, don't even take off your sock unless you cover your foot with a sheet. Oh, can you imagine? Why? Well, God's presence everywhere. But it's my sock and my foot. Cover it up. God's watching. But it's not really because God is embarrassed or anything like that. God created us. It's because for us to understand that God's presence is there. It's more for us than for anyone else. So it's very high level. But it's a very high level. Imagine change. I had a friend of my Shiva. He's very strict about this. For Mishnah Berurah. Very, very strict. It's high, very high level. Husband and wife, it's like, in Jewish law, it's like, it's a different world. Yeah, they're not married, and then everything's out. Yeah, marriage, you got. So hard. It's totally opposite. It's a life of Kedusha, which the world has lost today. It's a life of holiness. Kavod. And by doing honor to God, by doing his mitzvot. So every time a person does a mitzvot for God, he's honoring God in a sense, in the eyes of people. People say, wow, these people are still doing mitzvot. People still believe in God. Yes. Okay, now we come to loving God. After Hashem Elokecha, it's one of the six constant mitzvot, Yira and Ahava. So Yira is by showing humility. A person who's proud and boasts. Hey, 1 second, there's a God above you. How can you boast? How can you say, I am the greatest, Muhammad Ali, I am the greatest. Who are you guys the greatest? Hashem is right there. Yeah, who are you? The greatest? So Hashem says, I'll teach you a lesson. You're the greatest? Okay, we'll see. And that's the Gemara says, a line from the cowboy movie, right? That's where they got it from. This world ain't big enough for both of us, Hashem says. But it says, I'm the greatest, this world is not big enough for me and you together. And it's not me that's going to go with you. That's the first thing a person can do to cause a downfall. Once a person starts boasting, Bar Minah, it's horrible. I'm the greatest. Who am I? Right? What did Abraham Avinu say? Anochi afar ve'efer. I'm dust and ashes, he says. David Abraham says, Ani tolad ve'loish. I'm a woman, not a man. And Moshe and Aaron say, ve'nachnu ma. Who are we? Which is nothing. We're nothing. So why? Because they realize in front of who they're talking to. What do you mean we're nothing? I'm the high priest and he's the leader. What do you mean we're nothing? Yeah, but Hashem is right here, so we're in front of Hashem, we're nothing. Hashem is there. Well, who are we to brag? I am running for president. I'm the best for the job. I am the greatest. And you vote for me and swear that you'll vote for me. Who are you? You're the greatest. The greatest gift to mankind. I'm the greatest gift to mankind. You may have been saying that. Not even a doctor. He's not even a lawyer. I don't know. Who can he? Can he help people? All right. So how can a person boast? A person boasts, that's the end of them. That's it. So by boasting, a person is transgressing fear of God. It's not fear of God. Having shame, we talked about. So that's fear of God. Now what is love of God? Beautiful stuff. Beautiful. How do you love God? And the answer is number one is simcha. By being happy to be able to do something for God. That's a beautiful idea. Why? It's not negative at all. How can you love God? How do you show love to God? God, I love you. It's a religion of love. I love you. Okay, now what? That's it. I love you. That's it. Goodbye. You know, that's the modern day America, right? When do you say I love you to your wife? When are you leaving her in the morning? When are you coming home, right? So you leave her and say, hi, honey. Bye. I love you. You don't see her for 8 hours. You come back. Hi, honey. Bye. Hi. And then you go and watch TV. That's America. Love you. What does it mean? Well, I'm working hard for you, right? That's love. Not love. You know, the famous story in Fiddle on the Roof, right? That her husband, after how many years? 30 years? 25 years of marriage, he says to his wife, do you love me? And she said, what? I washed your clothes. I did this. I gave you kids. Well. He just doesn't understand. That's love. So truth is, love is commitment. Love is showing commitment. That's what real love. Because the word ahava is based on the word hav, which means to give. I give, I give, I give. That's love. What do you mean? Love you. How do you show love for your children? You give them. You keep giving them. How do you show love for a spouse? You give. With Hashem, you can't really give Hashem. Why? Because Hashem, you can't give him anything. And people think you can give a korban. You can't give a korban. All you can give is your love. Of love. Shown by happiness, by connection, and by jealousy. That's how you have to find love. So number one is being happy when you're around someone. That shows love. If you're around someone you don't like, you're miserable. You're around someone you like, you're happy. So by being happy with Hashem, that's number one. A person does a mitzvah and they're happy. That shows love. If they do a mitzvah, they're, I don't want to do it, I don't really want to do it, I don't care, I don't want to do it. I'm not happy to be here. It shows they don't really love. That's not love.
If one is training oneself to do something
you're not
used to, though.
Yeah. We're talking about chassid, though. Chassid is a pious person. That's not piety.
It's a low level.
Piety is getting to this point where a person says, I'm happy. This is what I wanted all my life. Can you imagine a person goes to Gan Eden? A famous story. They go to Gan Eden, and they're expecting a golf course. And what else? What else are people expecting in Gan Eden? Saunas and restaurants, kosher, of course, like kosher, massage, whatever. Well, as they say, you know, houses full of gold and silver and 70 virgins. And all of a sudden, a person goes to the Gan Eden, spiritual. There's a Shekhinah, the old Tzadikim, and there's Torah, and there's. Hey, do what I do all day. I sit down in the books, sit down beneath Hashem. Pretty boring, right? It's an acquired taste. Gan Eden is an acquired taste. If you're not into spirituality, it's going to be hell. If you're into spirituality, it's very heaven. That's heaven. So it's really an acquired taste. So a person's happy in this world doing mitzvot, going to be even happier in the next world. A person wants to cling to God, that's part of Ahava. Cling to someone. I want to cling to you. I don't want to leave you one second. I'm in love with you. It's like children with their parents. I remember my father, I couldn't leave him. It was like a battle going to school. It was like screaming. I had a scream, I remember very clearly. I was 4 years old. I couldn't leave him. My father, daddy, don't leave me. He always had that. Today it's much less often. And some kids, yeah, some kids, no. They're very attached. So.
It's called separation anxiety.
Huh? Separation anxiety. But it's more love. Like, I love you so much. Why you feel, the kid feels it. Why do you want me to keep away from you? I can't keep away. I love you so much. And that's very good. And that's what we're talking about. The person says, Hashem, I love you, so I can't leave you. Please don't leave me. That's the vikar. I'm clinging to you all the time. How does a person cling to God in their mind? How often do we think of Hashem? So when I'm driving, I think of Hashem all the time. Help me. Save me. It's not a joke. It's a dangerous world out there. It's everywhere. Everywhere you go, it's dangerous. You're walking down the streets of Yerushalayim. Very good. Everywhere you go today, Jew goes anywhere today. It's like very good. You have to have very good. So, happiness. A person happy doing mitzvah, that's a sign that they love. They love it. They love God. Tveikut. They think about God all the time. When you think about Him, He's there with you. That's tveikut. That's clinging. And lastly is kinat, being jealous for God. What do you mean jealous for God? You see someone doing something wrong, like Pinchas. He was jealous for God. That's avad Hashem. Right? So a person loves someone in his family. You see someone insulting them. Be jealous, what do you mean? How dare you insult my relative? How dare you? Same thing with Hashem. You love Hashem, you're going to be jealous for God's honor. Now we're going to explain them in detail. Okay, that's just the head offerings. The headings of the future. Now we're going to explain them one by one. Number one, Yira, fear. Now we come to the different levels of fear. The lower levels of fear are Yirat Chet. And the lowest level of fear is Yirat Onesh. Fear of punishment, which is, that's everyone's fear. We don't want to be punished. We fear the punishment of God. God shouldn't punish me. A lot of people think, you know, the lightning of. I've seen on YouTube, unfortunately, the tragic stuff on YouTube. They show a Hasid who went away from Judaism. He said, the first Shabbat I broke, I really expected a flash of lightning to come and a bolt and hit me. That's what he said. It didn't happen. I was really terrified. The first Shabbat I broke, I was trembling. The truth is, he should be trembling all his life. We should all be trembling. Every Shabbat should be trembling. But he got over it. Unfortunately, he got over it. He did other things. And he gets lower and lower and lower. Tragic. Yes, I know. I know you do. Can you wait for 10 minutes? Yes, wait for 10 minutes. So the fear, the main part of fear is fear, the highest level of fear, which is fear of Hashem. Fear or of Hashem, fear of Hashem. The Ruach of Hashem. So a person's got to think, especially when they pray. That's very hard. Mind's all over the place. All honestly. The Yetzirah, when a person prays, is happy and dancing. Because it's where our minds are all over the place. Hard to get that mind and just put it in jail and stick it in there. Leave your attention. Focus your attention. To focus that attention is so hard. Especially today, we're all ADD, ADHD, or hyper, you know. Multitasking, hyper. So it's very hard to focus the mind. So the best technique I found is by putting your finger on the place. Normally what happens is, when your finger's on the place, you follow. So it's very important to go through the siddur like this. If you can, put your finger on the place and just keep going through, scanning the words. Or, at least the first paragraph. If you didn't say it properly, go back and say it again. What do you mean go back and say it again? Don't say the words again. Just read it again in your head. That's what I do. Just read it again in your head. So you can't say the words again, it could be Bracha Levatala. You can't say Baruch Atah Hashem again, you already said it. So you go back, scan it again, scan it through with your mind. Bless you Hashem, the Lord of the universe, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. So this way you're getting the gist of it and you're focusing, that's focus. Bringing the mind back, so go back a little bit. It's very important, that first paragraph is critical, and the paragraph of Modim Anachnu Lach is critical. Because thank you, you're saying thank you to God. Suppose his mind is elsewhere, how can you say thank you? And it's so hard to pray properly. Halavai, maybe 10% of our prayers are accurate. I don't know. If you're lucky, if you're 10%. Most people don't get 10%. It's very hard to pray. But a person who is a Hasid will pray properly because of fear, awe of Hashem. I'm standing in front of Hashem, how can I know? Pay attention. Because I'm standing before the King of Kings. So that is really clear. Now the trouble is we're not allowed to have images. If you have a statue over there, it's much easier praying to the statue. We're not allowed to have images. We're not allowed to have images and think in our heads even images, imagery. So we can think about the King of the Kings. Who's the King of Kings? Who is he? So the answer is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Stick over there, Yud Kei Vav Kei. We have Yud Kei Vav Kei over here. And in the Siddur, there's many Yud Kei Vav Kei. So focus on Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei. You are Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because the key to God is his name. The closest thing we can think of when we think about Hashem is God's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's a very powerful name. So we're standing before Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, who was the creator of the whole world, master universe. It's very hard to understand, very hard. So it's good to even see pictures, diagrams of the galaxy. The Milky Way. So massive. And then look at the picture of the whole system, you know, galaxies and galaxies and galaxies. Oh man, trillions of galaxies. And then you have an inclination, what does it mean to be king of the universe? Hard to imagine. How big is the universe? There's more stars in the universe than sand at the seashores. It's very hard to imagine. How many sand, you know, trillions of sand. And there's stars out there, trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. The mind boggles, it's just wild. The nearest star is 4 light years away. The furthest, so you're looking back in time, you look back at the star. The furthest stars are thousands and thousands of years ago away. So the light that came is coming thousands of years ago. They're not really there even. Hard to imagine, very hard to imagine. Now think about the creator of all that. How great is that creator? Hard to imagine how great God is. And he's worried about me. And that's a blessing. That creator is on your side. Imagine how much power we have. Harness it. And David Amel says, if God is with me, if I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I don't care. You're with me. What do I care? He'll fight Goliath. What do I care? Goliath, okay, he's a big giant. But everyone else was terrified. How come David was able to not be scared of Goliath? Because he knew how big God is. He was a shepherd. He looked out the night, the skies. He said, you're the God of the constellations. You're God of the universe. Who's Goliath? If you're on my side, that's little Israel, puny Israel. How we survive, it's a miracle. We don't really realize. It's a miracle, massive miracle. Puny Israel is not just surviving, but it's flourishing with all the hatred. It's a miracle. I don't know. I can't explain it. It's really a miracle. If you can't see that miracle, you're blind. It's a miracle. If the world can't see the miracles, they're blind. I was just reading about in England, they passed a law. The government passed a law in England that the local authorities are not allowed to BDS. No BDS in the local authorities. Why? One of the reasons they gave it is a sixth of all the medication in the National Health Service is made by Israeli companies. If we take out products from Israel, the prices of all medications will go up. What a crazy reason. That's the reason they gave. We need them. We can't have BDS, they said. Can't the government of England say we can't have BDS? We need Israeli technology, we need their manpower, we need their engineers. They're telling everyone, you can't, no BDS. We need them. But who's Israel? A country of 70 million people is a country of 8 million. Doesn't make sense. It's wild. It's a miracle today. So that's the power of God. We have to realize this power of God. There's no other power of the world except for the power of God. And od milvado, and that's part of yira. So fearing the romimut, which is the highest level of yira. So most people get the level of onish, fearing God's punishment. Even that's a high level. Halavai, we should all be on the level of fearing God's punishment. And we have to know, this is one of the 30 principles of faith. I believe that God rewards the righteous and he punishes the wicked. So, may not be in this world. We don't see it in this world. You can see that the righteous are being in troubles and the wicked are prospering. And that's the story of Job, the book of Job. And yet we believe with perfect faith that eventually it will catch up. It's one of the 30 principles of faith Rambam writes down, which we say every morning. We believe perfect faith, there will be reward and there will be punishment. Everyone will get their just deserts. Every single person gets their just deserts. That's a lower level. Halavai, we feel that level. The person's got to believe that level. There is reward and there is punishment. Even though I can't see it, it's going to happen one day. The next level is fear of sin. And that's the second highest level. Fear of sin. Why is fear of sin so high? Because we have to realize when a person sins, it's spiritual suicide. They're actually affecting their souls. You can't see it. But we got to try and be sensitive to it. So a person in tune with their souls will actually feel the hurt. Actually feel the soul feeling pain. And how do you feel the soul feeling pain? Normally it depresses a person. A person feels bad about it. They feel bad inside. They get depressed. Because the soul is paining. And a person does that, and that's guilt. A person feels guilty. That's the soul hurt. Soul is hurt. And that's a very good thing. That's a very high level. It means a person's in tune with their soul. A person who kills that feeling of guilt is not in tune with their soul. They just killed part of their sensitivity to the soul. Can you imagine? So you go to the doctor and say, I got a pain here. I say, no problem, I'll kill your nerve. I'll just go in there and kill that nerve. Okay, kill the nerve. And I got a pain over here, okay, and it'll kill the nerve over here. No problem. So the guy's walking around now, his nerve's not operating. He'll walk through a plate glass window, won't feel any pain, I'll die of...
treat the symptom.
So I treat the symptom. So you see this guy Percocet now. I was just listening on the radio, how widespread abuse of Percocet. Why? People have pain. So I give him Percocet. So now it doesn't really cure the bottom underlying cause of pain. So all their lives they'll need Percocet because they still have the pain. You didn't cure the actual cause. So I think that caused them to be on a drug. It's like they hooked the Percocet. It's a terrible tragedy. People die of it eventually. It's crazy. It's all these strong drugs they're giving people. And they overprescribe them and giving them over and over again. Just crazy. People should say, no, I want to feel the pain. Because then I know I'm alive. It's very hard to feel pain, but it's better than the alternative sometimes. Person's got to know. So a person feels a spiritual pain. That is Yirat Hachet. Fear of sin. Is knowing that what the sin is doing to me. I wish we could see what the sin is doing to us. Imagine drilling into your own arm. Imagine taking a drill and drilling into one's hand. A person's got to think, if I do a sin, I'm literally drilling into my soul. I'm causing havoc in my soul. It's a horrible thing. So it's like, just hard to imagine, hard to think. That's what Yirat Chet is. Fearing the actual sin. Chet means to stray from the target. Lachto is to the target is over here and you're going this way. I suppose that's the worst feeling in the world. Speeding in the wrong direction. Happens to me when I miss. Can you imagine? You're coming down the turnpike south and you miss exit 9. Oh gosh, exit 8A. Oh, I hate exit 8A. It's like, how many miles off? It's another, how many?
20 miles.
20 miles? Gosh, it happened to me. This happens. It's the worst feeling in the world, yeah. 20 miles there, I go 20 miles back. Imagine, that's the feeling of, yeah, that's the fear of sin. Fear of sin is, I missed the direction. Now I got to go past it, got to come back, make a U-turn. So. But the highest level of Yirat HaRamut, Ramut is fear of God himself, Hashem. That takes a lot of imagination. Knowing that God is watching, God is there, God's presence is there. Knowing what God's presence is, which is the King of Kings. It's hard to imagine, hard to imagine. You have to imagine the whole galaxy and then think about how the creator of that galaxy. The galaxy is not. There's only one galaxy. There's billions of galaxies. It's hard to imagine. Here we are, a little solar system here. One solar system, one star out of how many stars in the Milky Way? Billions. Billions of stars in the Milky Way. We're one little star. We're one planet around this star amongst the billions of stars in the Milky Way. It looks like a giant wheel. And then that's one galaxy, and then there's countless galaxies. And God put everything together in 6 days. How mighty is that? That's amazing. Just mind boggled. Hard to imagine. Because our puny minds, we can't grasp it. We're very fortunate we're living in this generation because now we can see how big it is. There are no concepts of those things. We really have an idea of how big the universe is. Imagine the God of the universe, God of the hosts, Tzvakot. The name Tzvakot is the God of the hosts of the armies. So now we can understand what these armies are. Who are these armies? Just look at the stars. These are galaxies and galaxies. The naked eye, we can see 8,000 stars. Nothing. It's not a puny man. But today you put a few telescopes and you can see trillions of stars. You put the Hubble telescope up there, you can see there's no atmosphere. You can see endless stars and stars coming out of your eyes. Stars all over the place. That's the awesome system of can you imagine living in space for a year? This guy just came back. You know, when the Russian cosmonauts came down from space, they asked him, did you see God? Nah, we didn't see God. Why? Because the image of God was an old man on a chair. They didn't see God. You don't see, you can't see God. That's all they can't see. God. All you can see is God's handiwork, God's creation. And by God's creation, you can realize what the Creator is. That's all. As Rambam says, look at God's creation, you'll be able to figure out the Creator. So that's the highest level, Yirat HaRamut. So a person's got to think of three things to get to that level. Number one is we're standing before God. And we're actually talking to God. When you first pray, you're actually talking to God. Now, it's hard to imagine. You know, in those days, they had kings. If you said a wrong word, they'd kill you. Yeah, you read the Megillah. Okay? Megillah Esther is good to read just for that. You know, off with his head. Big Tana Teresh, off with the head. Vashti, off with the head. Off with this one's head. It's so easy to lose your head here in front of a king. Now just think of a king of kings. That even the king would be terrified. Can you imagine? In those days, your knees would be knocking in front of a king. Not a joke. The guys would be You know, the last guy we had was this guy, what's his name, Saddam Hussein. Every year he would have a party for all his generals. And the guards would come in, take two guys out and shoot them. There's not that case in North Korea, right? Sound the same thing. How many uncles he killed already? I don't know how many, what his relatives. He's killing one by one. Boom, 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 boom. Last week he just took out the head of his army and he shot him. So can you imagine, he comes to inspect the troops. You know who's the most scared? The generals are most scared. Because he doesn't care about little snippy troops. They're not his rivals. The generals might make a little revolution, so he wants to shoot a few of them. Just mow the lawn every time. The same, so how do you keep fear amongst people?
They've got guns.
Can you imagine? We're standing in front of God who has life and death in his hands. Hard to imagine. Maybe we have to try and imagine. Okay, we'll stop here. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, amen. We'll come back next week. Talk about Ramot. Ich bin ein Mensch, der sich nicht mehr so gut fühlt.